Naked marriage goes back to God's original design for marriage. And the first picture he gave us of marriage is in Genesis chapter 2. And he says that that first couple, Adam and Eve, they were naked and unashamed. And that nakedness wasn't just a picture of physical intimacy, even though that's a beautiful part of it. But it's a picture of having nothing to hide from each other and being completely vulnerable, completely open. And that's what God desires for marriage.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com or on our Family Life app.
This is Family Life Today.
So we don't often talk about 1999 in our marriage.
Oh, 1999. Ooh, yeah.
It was one of the tougher years. Mm-hmm. Why?
I lost my very best friend to cancer. And it was my sister. She's my best friend. She led me to Jesus. She died of, I get teary talking about it. She died of lung cancer. My parents had never smoked, and she never did. And she was gone within 5 months, leaving her four sons. And it was really a dark time for us in our lives.
Yeah, and I mean, it was dark for you. It was dark for everyone, really. And as your husband, you know, I've always said, you know this, one of the things I love about Ann Wilson is your strength finders. Like, number two is positivity.
Yeah.
And like, if you walk in the kitchen one day and you're not positive, I'd fall on the floor. I can barely function, which is, you know, like, I'm so codependent on your positivity. But you went through, our marriage went through 18 months, didn't it?
Yeah, I was grieving and I could not conjure up anything. I was just at a dark, dark place, questioning everything, and I felt like I had absolutely nothing to give.
Yeah, I can remember the day I heard you laugh in the garage. I was in the kitchen, and I think it was 2 years that I hadn't heard you laugh, like belly laugh. And, you know, we're bringing that up because when one of the spouses or both are really struggling emotionally or mentally, it can really impact a marriage.
And I think it can lead one or both of you reeling, not knowing where to go, what to do. And you're wondering, will our marriage survive this?
Yeah, and so I'm excited because we've got two friends in the studio today, Dave and Ashley Willis, who, I didn't say Dave and Ann Wilson, Dave and Ashley Willis.
Welcome to Family Life Today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're sitting over there being so polite, you know, you can't interrupt us, and here you are sitting in the studio. But you guys have this amazing ministry that you have committed, has it been 2 decades or so of your lives to helping marriages like what we just described thrive in the midst of good times and tough times, right?
Yes. I mean, it's, you know, we definitely have walked through some dark times, just like what you described. And yeah, it's our heart to help people navigate these things, because it is in those times that, you know, even though we are personally going through a hard time, I think we can turn and kind of put it on our spouse and think, oh, did I marry the wrong person? Mm. Or maybe the marriage is the problem. Maybe it's all their fault after all, you know? And so we want to help couples just like you guys are doing, you know, help them see that they can get through these hard times. And not only that, but there's really kind of a strength you find on the other side of that when you lean into each other and really give it to God through that hard time, you can really grow stronger through it.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about Dave and Ashley Willis, because I know you've written, I didn't know this many, 15 books.
Is that right?
Yeah. You guys are young.
That
it's
sounds
not like
you're
lot. This old couple. You're young.
Well, sounds like an old couple.
You must be cranking them out every 6 months.
Well, some of them are just really short. Like, I've got a few really, really short ones, like children's book length, probably.
Oh, my goodness.
Just to add to the total count.
You were impacting people socially on the internet before anybody was really doing it. And so you have literally for 2 decades at least really impacted marriages. And then you start this thing. You got to tell me what this means. Naked marriage. That's your ministry. That's your podcast. The book we're going to dive into today is Naked and Healthy. So obviously, you know, you have a title like Naked Marriage. It gets people interested. What's that all about?
It does. We're not part of a nudist colony, just to clarify. But Naked Marriage goes back to God's original design for marriage. And the first picture he gave us of marriage is in Genesis chapter 2. And he says that first couple, Adam and Eve, they were naked and unashamed. And that nakedness wasn't just a picture of physical intimacy, even though that's a beautiful part of it. But it's a picture of having nothing to hide from each other and being completely vulnerable, completely open. And that's what God desires for marriage. And so we've tried to build our own marriage that way through all of God's principles for what a marriage should be, and just be a safe place where other couples can talk about it, whether it's sending us messages online, which was happening long before we ever had a podcast, or we're doing marriage ministry full-time the way we are now. But we're just trying to point people back to God's design in a world that has gotten really confused about issues around sex and marriage and what it all means and what it's all supposed to look like. And God's perfect plan is still perfect. And we're just trying to help point people back to that.
Yeah, and it's one of the things I really appreciate about your ministry is it's biblical. I mean, it's centered on the Word of God. It's vulnerable. That's the naked part, you know, naked and unashamed. And you're always helping. I mean, you're literally helping couples. And it's really interesting, as I picked up your latest book, Naked and Healthy, it really gets into what we started with, the mind and the emotions, how that affects a marriage, the body or the physical, and the spiritual. And so here's the thing, before we even dive into that, because I really want to talk about where we started today, the emotional part of a marriage. But, mm-hmm. you know, one of the things that we do, and we got to talk about this now because there's a promotion going on right now with Family Life where you can go to the Weekend Remember Marriage Getaway half off.
Nice.
And if you're wired like me, I say yes to half off, so I'm going to go. So you can go to any one of 60 different marriage conferences around the country. You go to familylifetoday.com. You can find a marriage conference near you, or you can go to a destination one if you want and spend Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday morning learning how to build a marriage that God wants you to have. It's
and
a great weekend.
It really, truly changed our marriage. It changed our life. I feel like it changed our legacy. And so to get half off is an amazing deal off that registration price.
Yeah, so I'd say even right now, go online. Go to familylifetoday.com, sign up, have a great weekend. It's going to literally change your life. All right. So now, talk about the emotional part.
You have your own personal story of how this played out in your marriage, where the mental and emotional part affected you mm-hmm. in your marriage in a negative way.
Very much so. You know, Dave and I got married pretty young. I was actually still in college when we got married. Dave graduated from college one weekend. We got married the next weekend. And then he started working for the college that I was attending. And, you know, it was just this fairy tale for us. And, you know, being naive and being very young, we just thought, we got this. And we were also both communication majors. And so we thought, we know how to communicate and our marriage is just going to be awesome.
Yeah,
and,
no problem.
Exactly, no problem. And so we get married and, you know, we're in that honeymoon phase, but very quickly, I just noticed that I'm not quite myself and I'm having trouble sleeping. I will just, you know, I had these lingering, plaguing negative thoughts and fears that I had a really hard time shaking off. And then,
Ashley, before you go on, tell me about those thoughts and fears. Like, what was going through your head?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it was like an onslaught of just trying to, I don't know. I think I went through an identity crisis, really, because we were actually having a little bit of trouble with some family members in the beginning of our marriage. And it really threw me for a loop, to be honest with you. It was very earth-shattering in my little world. And it caused me to have a little bit of a, like, well, who am I? Because this relationship that I really had almost just depended on and defined myself by was all of a sudden just crumbling to the ground, and things weren't really how I thought they were. And it really sent me into a massive depression. And then
this
I started having
year one.
This is in the first year, and it happened within like the first 2 weeks.
Oh.
And it just, I mean, it was like day after day. I mean, and then holidays would come and it would get worse on the holidays, and it was just terrible. And it went on for several years.
So let me go to you, Dave. So here you are, you're newly married, like, oh, this is going to be amazing. And here Ashley is in this phase of life, in this depression. Were you thinking, what just happened? Like, were you doubting, who is she?
No, I never doubted who is she, but I was still completely terrified at the situation. Like, I knew who I married. I never had a doubt in my mind at all about that. And I was so thankful and have been every day of our marriage that she's my wife. But I just didn't know how to help. And mm-hmm. I didn't know how to get us, how to lead through that. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I didn't know what she was supposed to do. So it became a time in our marriage where we really had to lean on God like never before. And it was a good way to start out in that way, because it forced us to realize the obvious, which is we can't do everything in our own strength. We need the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that isn't just something we said, like that is something in that moment we had to live. We had to say, God, help us through this. Show us what to do. And God helped us in a lot of ways through that. And it was a slow process. You know, usually the healing happens in slow processes, unfortunately. We want it to happen fast, but yeah, it's usually a journey.
You were saying how many years?
It went on for at least 4 years. Like I can distinctly remember, like, you know, you kind of, with depression, anybody who is listening to this, when you're first depressed, you kind of get used to it and you don't realize that's what you're going through. And you kind of chalk it up to sadness, or I'm just having problems with this one relationship in my life, or whatever it is. You call it circumstantial. But I, you know, looking back, I think it was actually probably even more than 4 years, but definitely four distinct years where I was crying. I would just cry all the time. I literally, just like the commercials you see on TV for antidepressants, I literally felt like this little dark cloud was following me around, and I didn't want to do the things I once enjoyed. I just felt like a shell of a person. And I remember, you know, that's when the enemy came in and just really played on that. You know, it was like he just tried to mess with me even more and started kind of feeding me these lies, like, you know what, Dave's gonna leave you. You're not really the woman he married anymore. And are you really saved? Are you really saved? If you are thinking these dark thoughts, or if you're doubting God, or if you're questioning your marriage or whatever it is, you know, how dare you even think that? Like, you should be ashamed. I mean, I just had all those really terrible lies going through my mind. And I mean, it got really dark kind of in the midst of that 4 year journey of even thinking, I don't know if I want to live. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if I really want to continue living. If this is living, I don't want it.
And talk about spiritually, what did you feel? What were you praying in that time?
I would pray. I will tell you, there's never been another time in my life where I've cried out to the Lord so much. And I did go to Christian counseling. That was a game changer for me. My Christian, I actually went to two different ones because we moved kind of in the middle of my depression. And both of my counselors really kind of helped me to do what the Bible says to do, to take your thoughts captive and to replace them with God's truth. And that was something that I had to learn. In those moments when I was crying out to God, I've never felt him so close, you know? And I literally felt the verse that says he is close to the brokenhearted, you know? And over time, I could see him giving me beauty for my ashes, because I did. I felt like ashes. I felt like the beautiful life I thought I was going to live with Dave. And at the time I had small children, even when I was going through this, I thought it's just burning in flames. Like, and I'm the one, it's me, it's my fault. And I just had to learn that, you know, mental illness is no respecter of persons. Christian or not, we can go through this, but God is our healer. And with his help, and if you're married, please help your spouse, lean into your spouse in this. But with helping each other through this, you can come through it. Mm. And I've been on the other side of this for years. Praise Jesus. I mean, I've been free from anxiety and depressions for years, and I'm so, so grateful.
And I'm guessing you guys have met people that the spouse hasn't responded the way Dave responded to you, Ashley.
Like, yes.
Have you seen the negative toll that it plays out if you don't respond in a kind and generous and grace-giving way?
Absolutely. And, you know, I didn't know what to say during those times. Like, I didn't have any, there was nothing magical that I said or did that helped, but I just knew, I just need to make sure she knows she's not going to face this alone. Mm-hmm. And so I just reminded her over and over that I'm here and we're going to get through this together. But I was not a perfect husband back then. Like, I don't want to paint this picture that, like, I was this rock who was doing everything right. And because, like, I was in my own ways kind of messed up then. Like, I was struggling. I felt kind of inadequate and insecure because I didn't completely know how to help. But if you are dealing with depression or anxiety the way that Ashley was, some of the things she did that I just commend her for, that God really blessed and used, is, like, number one, she chose to hold on to God's promises even when she was feeling something different. Our culture kind of says, you know, your feelings are always right. Your feelings are your God. Your feelings are your truth. And you just, you know, hold on to that. But she said, no, my feelings are lying to me right now. My feelings are real. I mean, they're real. Yeah. And I'm feeling the weight of the world on my shoulders. But even though I don't feel it right now, I'm holding on to God's promises that he is good. And he is with me. He's for me. And that I'm going to get through this. And she kept feeding her mind things that reinforced that message. You know, she was so disciplined in saying, I'm going to read the word today, even though I'm not feeling it. I'm going to put God's word in my mind through what I'm listening to and what I'm watching. I'm going to surround myself with people who love me and encouraging voices, because I know I'm really vulnerable right now. And if I'm listening to the wrong voices, it could have a really negative impact. I'm going to get into counseling. Healing can happen. God wants you to live with healing. He's not given us a spirit of fear. He wants to give you a spirit of a sound mind. And if you don't feel that right now, don't beat yourself up. Don't convince yourself that it's because you're some kind of like terrible sinner. This is just part of being a human being. Sometimes, you know, we deal with brokenness, but God wants to carry you through it.
Hmm. Now, do either one of you guys ever feel like, or sort of blame your marriage for the problems you were having? Because I think often we can get in a marriage and you go through something like what Ashley was going through, and you said, well, if I wouldn't have married you, or if I wouldn't have got married, I'd be in a different place. I'd be okay. And it's easy to blame the marriage when the marriage isn't the problem. But did you find yourself ever doing that?
One thing I have not struggled with is saying like, oh man, I wish I would have not married her.
That's
like
awesome.
I've really, honestly, I've had all kinds of terrible thoughts and dumb thoughts and sinful thoughts, but that thought has never really entered my mind. I'm like, I know that I'm with the person that I'm meant to be with for my whole life, and I'm so thankful for her. And even at our toughest time, in her darkest time, I was so thankful to be her husband. If anything, I just felt more of a sense of urgency to remind her of that, because she didn't believe that.
Yeah,
even though it was true. But you know, our feelings can lie to us, and so I just tried to remind her every way I could, like, I love you so much, and I am so honored to get to be your husband, and we're going to get through this together. And in her mind, wouldn't let her believe it at the time, but it was true, and I kept saying it.
Well, I would even say things like, hey, I know I'm not keeping my end of the bargain here. Like, I'm not really who you married, and I don't know if I'm ever going to be that woman again. So if you want to leave, it's okay. Like, I would literally say that. And every time he would say, Ashley, I am not going anywhere.
That's our gift.
Oh my gosh,
yes. That's a true gift, that we can say that to our spouse when they're struggling.
Yeah.
I'm thinking too of Romans 12:2, and I love that scripture. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I think not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. When I was going through my grieving of my sister, and I would say that's probably the time in my life where I was the most depressed. Would you say that, Dave?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But I found myself the same, Ashley. Like, my mind is reeling of what kind of God would take this 44-year-old woman who has 4 kids, you know? And then I would be asking, like, what if that happens to me? So your mind goes crazy, especially at night, and learning to take those thoughts captive. Man, that was hard, because my whole life I just let my mind go. When you think of captivity, you think of a cage. Like, you're going to put those thoughts in a cage and not let them run wild. And learning how to do that can take some time. Yeah. How did you, like, what was your discipline? How did you do that?
You know, one of the most helpful things to me, I actually read a book, and it's an old Beth Moore book, okay? And it's called Praying God's Word. And one thing Beth Moore put in that book, but this is something anyone listening could do on their own, is there was like a perforated section with just scripture. And she had a little blurb in there saying, like, listen, you know, even Jesus himself, when he was going through his hardest time in the desert and being tempted, you know, he would quote scripture to the enemy. He would say, no, this is what God says out loud. So I did that. And I still, from time to time, do that. Because it was just, you know, Proverbs 3:5-6, not trusting in my own understanding. Because at that time, I literally couldn't trust my own understanding, because my mind was not healthy. And so it helped me by putting different verses like that. It just really helped bathe, kind of wash my mind with God's truth. And it renewed it over time. And, you know, the things that we tend to focus on, actually, this is a Lisa Turker's quote that I love. And she says, the mind feasts on what it focuses on. And I wanted to feast on God's word.
Yeah.
I didn't want to feast on the lies of the devil. I wanted to feast on his word, on his truth. And truly, when I was feasting on his word by just focusing on it, it's healing. I mean, his word is healing. And it really, really, it helped me tremendously. I wouldn't have been able to get through that time without it.
I mean, I'm just thinking of, you know, a listener, maybe a couple's going through what you went through. And I know we're not sitting here like, you never struggle again. I mean, it isn't like it was done and over, but you have helped so many. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just thinking, man, you've given us like a prescription. And again, I know there's no step one, step two, but getting your eyes off of the problem and onto the Lord, getting them in the Word. One of the things that really impacted us in that time period was worship music.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I remember we would go to church, and often I would be in the band playing, and I sort of said, I don't want to play for a while. I want to be just standing and singing. We couldn't sing. We would just weep. I remember I'd look over, and Anna's on her knees just weeping, could barely get the words out, but being in that presence and going vertical was powerful.
There was something about when you worship, your heart has to become soft and absorbs. Whereas before, wherever I'd go, I'd shut down my heart because it hurt too bad. But when music came and worship music, the intimacy of God's words tended to just pour into my heart and I would just cry because the emotion of it. And I feel like that's super healing.
Yeah, and I would just say, if you want more of this, pick up Naked and Healthy, because the whole first section of the book is really this story and how you managed to get through it, and it's gonna help you as well. So go get it today.
Thanks.
I remember hearing someone say once that all of us would like to think that our worst day is not what defines us. It's not what we're known for in life. And in the same way in marriage, we'd like to think that our greatest struggle, our greatest weakness, the thing we wrestle with is not what defines us in our spouse's eyes. That doesn't mean that we ignore or gloss over the very real issues that we're all wrestling with. It means that in marriage, we are to be, to use the words Dan Allender used once, we are to be intimate allies. We're to be working together for our mutual good in marriage and for God's glory. This is one of the things we focus on at our Weekend to Remember Marriage getaways. These 2.5-day getaways held in cities all across the country are designed to be an opportunity for couples to be refreshed and equipped in the basics of what it means to have a healthy, strong, godly marriage. And we have a whole season of these events about to kick off next month. We want to encourage you to go to our website, familylifetoday.com, and find out when a getaway is coming to a city near where you live, and decide now that you're going to invest in your marriage this spring at one of our getaways. In fact, if you're registered this week, you and your spouse will save 50% off the regular registration fee. So you can attend a getaway for essentially half price. You just need to sign up this week to take advantage of this special offer. Go to our website, familylifetoday.com, for more information about the Weekend to Remember Marriage getaways. Find out when one is coming to a city near where you live, and then register online. Or if you have any questions, call us at 1-800-FL-TODAY. We'd be happy to answer any questions you have and help you with your registration. Again, the number is 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800 F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Plan to join us this spring at a Weekend to Remember marriage getaway. And then while you're on our website at familylifetoday.com, look for more information about Dave and Ashley Willis's book, Naked and Healthy, all about being transparent with one another and marriage, being emotionally vulnerable, being connected at the deepest level. We have copies of the Willis's book available. You can order it online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call to order at 1-800-FL-TODAY. Again, the title of the book is Naked and Healthy by Dave and Ashley Willis. Go to familylifetoday.com for more information, or call 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800 F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Now, tomorrow, Dave and Ashley Willis are going to rejoin us to talk about the importance of our physical health when it comes to our marital oneness. Why is it important that we be physically healthy? I hope you're able to join us for that. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life, a Crew ministry. helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.